get a sense first of where your interest in mathematics came from. Did it start early?
My very old interest?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, a long time ago?
Yes.
Probably, yes. I mean, the first time I remember really liking math, I don't know if you would call this early or late, but it was ninth grade. And when I went to high school, and I had a terrific math teacher there, although actually in middle school I had also a great teacher. I went to high school in New Jersey, and our math program was run by the Columbia Teachers Program out of, and we had math teachers from there in our middle school, and there was one that was, I liked him a lot. I don't remember the math from then, but then in high school in ninth grade I had a great teacher and I remember the math, and it was, that was good. And then I continued to like it, although I didn't do anything special, you know, in high school. In fact, in my high school, they didn't even offer calculus, so I didn't take calculus until college. And there was nothing like any kind of contest or any competitions. There was nothing like that in my high school at the time.
Mm-hmm. So at what point did you decide that math would be your career?
Between junior and senior year in college.
When you started college then, how...
Yeah. I went to college thinking I'd be a chemistry major. And then I discovered I had to take physics, which they also didn't have in my high school. And then I discovered I had to take calculus. And then once I took calculus, I did really well in it, and the teacher encouraged me and convinced me I should take linear algebra, which I did my sophomore year. And then from that time on, it was... I loved math, and I knew I liked it more, but I kind of kept sticking with the chemistry physics thing. And then by the end of, by electricity and magnetism and some sort of chemistry lab that I hated, I thought, there's no way I'm going to work in a lab. So I was kind of thinking I might do theoretical physics or math. And then when it really wasn't until I was applying to grad school at the beginning of senior year that I finally made the decision, math over theoretical physics, mm-hmm. and applied to math grad school.
Where did you go to college?
I went to Bard College in New York.
And then for graduate work?
University of Oregon.
For master's and
for master's and PhD. With Ken Ross and Ivan Niffen. It was great.
So what was the attraction of the University of Oregon?
Well, the attraction was that I wanted to do group theory, and I had this idea that I would work with Charlie Curtis or Gary Seitz. And when I got there, my analysis background was quite weak, and I took analysis with Ken Ross. And that was that, actually. That did it. I mean, that year with Ken Ross convinced me that analysis was what I wanted to do.
So what did you do your thesis on?
I ended up working in operator theory and functional analysis with Bruce Barnes. And so that's what it was on. It was on spectral theory of regular operators.
Now, when you're looking further toward a career then, were you thinking more on the research side, or was there already some attraction to the teaching side?
No, I wanted to teach. And even in high school, I kind of knew I wanted to teach, and I wasn't sure what area. I mean, I actually thought I might teach history when I was in high school. That was sort of an idea I had. And then I kept knowing I wanted to teach. I just wasn't sure what kind of venue, you know, what sort of school I was interested in, what age of person I wanted to teach. And when I was in college, I realized this is a good life, being at a liberal arts school. But I still wasn't sure. And of course, after graduate school, you know, applying for jobs, I applied for all sorts of jobs. And I got really fortunate. I got a FIPSI-funded postdoc at St. Olaf. And that's how I ended up in the Midwest. And I've stayed there since.
So, in making these choices, did your family have any influence, or
my parents, or my
in
husband?
General? I mean,
you're
interested in teaching,
anybody.
For example. And...
Yeah. Well, my grandmother was a teacher, and a school teacher, and my father's mother. My mother's family, nobody ever went to school. My mother is actually the first college graduate mm-hmm. in her family. And on my father's side, though, very sort of highly educated people. My grandmother was a teacher. She'd gone to Towson, actually. So my family's from Baltimore. And then my dad went to college, and he was a chemical engineer. So the sort of sciencey engineering thing is very much a part of my family. And his sister is a cancer researcher, but her PhD is in some kind of biological field, you know, from several decades ago. And she actually started out in the math PhD program at MIT and then somehow switched over to biology. I'm not quite sure how that happened. So the idea of doing science and engineering was very much a part of my family tradition. And most of my father's cousins are science-type people, chemists and mathematicians even, but none work in academia. They all work in companies, and one is a mathematician for the NSA and things like that, which I never found out until after I got my PhD in math. He never revealed that to me. He's not supposed to say anything.
Now, after you spent your time at St. Olaf, was there another job search at that point? Or?
There was. There were a couple job searches because I'm married to a mathematician. And so after we left Oregon, we looked for jobs together. Mm-hmm. And he had tenure somewhere else. So he's about 6 years older than me. And he already had tenure somewhere. He got tenured very young. And we applied for jobs, and I took the St. Olaf job, and he took a one-year teaching position at the University of Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And every year after that, we'd sort of look for pairs of jobs, though, one at a good research university, one at a good liberal arts school. And 2 years after that, he got tenure at Minnesota, and I got my job at McAllister. Mm-hmm. So it worked out great for us.
So what has kept you at McAllister for quite a few years now?
Yeah, quite a few years. So I've been there, I think, since 91. Mm-hmm. And it's, so how many years is that? 22, something mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. It's a great school in a great location, mm-hmm. and the math department is unbelievably good. Mm-hmm. I mean, I when I got there, there were 6 faculty members, and now we're 13, and we're expanding again next year. And we were 6 mathematicians, and now we're a joint department with math, computer science, and statistics, and we have 3 computer scientists, 3 statisticians, and the rest mathematicians. Mm-hmm. And it's just a dynamic department that looks ahead, and we get along really well. We've got great students. We work with other departments really well, and I like that a lot, and not just physics and biology, but mm-hmm. also economics and political science and mm-hmm. sociology and mm-hmm. media. Our computer scientists and our media people mm-hmm. work together. Mm-hmm. So it's a terrific place. I mean, it really is. And then the community with McAllister, St. Olaf, and Carleton being together, mm-hmm. and Augsburg, which has mm-hmm. good people. It's a great math community, and the IMA is there. Mm-hmm. So we've sort of, you know, you can do everything you want mathematically, and Minnesota's a great place to live. So it was easy.
Uh-huh. In your, I'm not sure whether to call it research or not, but mm-hmm. one of your interests now has become what you're going to be talking about tonight,
right.
Reapportionment and redistricting and
right.
all this kind of thing. Where did that interest come about?
Well, this is, I try to think about this. Mm-hmm. So I got about 10 years ago, or maybe a little bit more, I started developing thematic courses for first-year students, and I developed a game theory class. Mm-hmm. And I really started liking the parts on many-player games and voting, mm-hmm. voting systems. And that led me to decide over one sabbatical to go and study political science at Berkeley, which I did a couple of years ago, and I somehow got really drawn into the redistricting business, and there were a lot of people at that time sort of developing measures of compactness to detect and prevent gerrymandering, and there was a lot of activity in that. And this is kind of analytic in that it's really about measuring shapes and size of shapes. And I'd always had an interest in that, in analysis. So that kind of drew me into the theoretical portion. And then it started being an avenue for me to get involved in the public sphere in Minnesota, and that became rather attractive and addictive in a way. So the combination of those two things really brought me forward in that. And it's not exactly research, but you'll see today some things that we developed.
Are there other topics that you're pursuing in various ways?
In this area?
Well, not necessarily in this area or beyond that.
Well, I continue to work on the redistricting in Minnesota. I attempted to think about or do things in different electoral systems and what electoral systems are the fairest. So I think about those things quite a bit and have worked on some of that. But this is all a bit new to me. And then in the sort of education area, I work a lot on curriculum and developing applied math curriculum and interdisciplinary curriculum. I'm really interested in that and do a lot of that.
Now, how did you start getting involved with the MAA?
Well, I mean, it goes back to Ken Ross, really. It was at Oregon, and he was, I can't remember exactly what years he was the president. Do you remember? But it was when I was in graduate school, I'm almost positive. And so obviously he was very involved. And I remember, you know, he always tried to encourage me. And I'm sure that the first thing I got involved with, he probably had something to do with. And I don't remember what that was. It might be that the first real job I had was being on the editorial board of the College Math Journal. When would that be? Over 10 years ago, and maybe 15 years ago. I can't quite remember. Woody Dudley was the chair of the board then. So that was the first thing. So it was really in editorial work. And I've worked on the CMJ board twice and on the Math Horizons board twice, and now do the Annalee Lax board.
So you must have some interest in writing and books and journals.
I think it's a great way to help with education and help all sorts of people. I think the CMJ is particularly helpful probably to young new faculty members in sort of expanding their teaching portfolio, coming up with new ways to think about things and great examples, and I like that. So I like kind of bringing fun and interesting math to all levels, and those could be high school students. I probably don't think too much about people below high school students, but I don't think too much about elementary school students, but high school students, their teachers, college students, their professors, and the general public who wants to learn about mathematics.
If you were to look forward maybe about 10 years or so, what do you see yourself doing then?
Well, my dream, and I know this isn't confidential because you're writing it all down and taping it, but between you and me, what I'd love to do is, if I could do anything that I really wanted to right now, I'd make a difference in public education in the country. And if I move in a direction, it'll be in that direction in K-12 education or more high school education in mathematics and all STEM fields. So that's what I would like to do. I'd like to get into some kind of public policy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the place I feel like
mm-hmm.
I have I could make a difference and have
mm-hmm.
a great interest.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.